in any statement does not contradict itself is a true statement. If you think it's false, you want to prove that by showing the inherent contradiction. An event has to be falsified. It's a hypothetical event. Before it can be, before its fallacy can be exposed. And exposing the fallacy in the thing, of course, is the only way to controvert it. But having done that, you haven't accomplished anything.
Makes it record.
Right. You want to make headway by what's verifiable. Is scientific theorem hypothesis falling down because failed of verification. So you haven't established anything. When you establish anything, it's verified. It simply speaks for itself. It has been verified. But if you prove to me that my theory is wrong, that isn't what gives me the technology. You give me the technology by proving what is right. It doesn't necessarily follow that proving that I'm wrong in some respect establishes anything as being right or correct. I told a New Deal professor one time when we come to a point where we can agree. He said, all right, now we can agree on that. That's one. I said, heaven, I think we must both be wrong. Sat on a lunch table with Irvin and another professor. He was kind of a loose-mouthed, red-talking style. Irvin said he didn't want to have to believe it's what he did it out of caprice more than anything else. Uncompromising red.
Irvin, your grandson, had lunch with me the other day.
I'm in the faculty house, and one of the professor's name was not David Reisman. Sometimes his Jewish name sounded like that.
Does Irvin belong to the faculty club?
Yeah.
Did you see Dr. Benson or anybody?
No, I sent him an apology to him, told him I wasn't feeling a bit well. However, I'll tell him. Herbert thinks he's made good there, all right. And been well accepted. He's sure of himself. He says there was a time when he was afraid people might think that Benson took him on in hopes of getting some kind of a contribution from me. He said he didn't want him at all now.
He would jeopardize the standing of his colleges by any sort of a premise like that. Benson, I think, is a very shrewd person.
Many years ago, Johns Hopkins University established a chair of economics, a Jewish name. on condition that a certain man should occupy that chair for his life. Everybody knew it. I think he must have impaired his reputation for a little press. I've never heard any serious complaint about it.
No, he doesn't know that.
I don't think so.
think physics is always verifiable to be sound.
And it's verifiable to be sound?
And I think where everything diminishes and manipulating zeros, it cancels all experience out of the picture.
Thank you.
Giving zeros attributes. So I like to tell people that I had a cat once and had 10 tails. And I challenge them to prove it. And I'll say, well, no cat has 9 tails. You already have.
I can see what's going to happen.
Can you? You got a good.
How do you know? How do you know? Now what? All right. What's the rest of it?
Do you agree that no cat has 9 tails?
Yeah.
Why?
Then you're a goner.
Why do you agree that no cat has 9 tails?
Because I've never seen a cat with 9 tails. I've never heard of a cat with 9 tails.
You're hearing about it now. You're really not, though. Hearing about a cat with 9 tails, no, you're not. Anyhow, he says, is there any such thing as a cat, I ask. When I say no cat has 9 tails, you agree with me, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a cat, and my cat has 1 more tail than no cat. My cat must have 10 tails. You said no cat had 9. 9 plus 1 is 10. You know what's the matter there? What's the confusion? Cause of it?
That you have a cat that's different than any other cat.
I should have said no. No cat had 9 tails. All the tail that no cat has is no tails.
See? No cat.
No cat has no tails. No cat has no tails
yet. See? No cat has no tails.
What comes from treating a zero as though it could be something? Treating a no cat as though it could have a tail. Any tails.
No cat has no tails. No cat. No cat has 9 tails. No cat can have 9 tails, because if you don't have a cat, you can't have any tails.
No cat can have any tails at all.
See? That's correct?
I asked you, when I said no cat can have it, I said, you say, no cat can have no tails.
No cat.
Well, that's an example, rather a rude one, perhaps, of trying to treat a zero as though it were something.
Like Einstein did?
I'm not quite sure about that. I think like...
Of course, if it has numbers, it's on the decimal point.
I said, this glass of water is half empty. Clearly it is, isn't it? You see it.
Oh, okay. A glass of water.
How much important is glass? You drank half of it out. I said, there's a glass of water is half empty. Since it's half empty, it has to be half full, doesn't it? Because it's half empty, it's half full. And when it gets wholly full, it'll be wholly empty. Making it half empty makes it half full. Making it wholly empty will make it wholly full.
That's true.
Well, we're using the word empty, which is it's a zero. And we cut it back into 0.5. Get ourselves all mixed up. You see, a thing can be more or less full. One can be. empty. It's either empty or not empty. If it's empty, it isn't full at all. Half full or any other full. The end is using an abstraction as though it could have concrete qualities. Zero is all right in abstraction. They plan it like square root and a minus one. You can manipulate it. You can't experience it. Manipulating and manipulated in your mind. You've done it times in life, don't you, there?
Yeah.
You don't have enough sugar available?
Pardon?
There just wasn't enough sugar for me.
You want more sugar?
If you please.
Mm-hmm. Can't get it.
This thing's running here. That's the way to catch it.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst, get it better that way.
I turned it on a few minutes ago. I wanted to hear about the cat and no tails.
I'm really afraid.
Yeah, keep up.
I'm going to have to be going. I'm exceptionally tired.
Sure, I must have to be going. I must have been seeing it myself. I didn't want to be in the hospital.
But I only have so much in my mind. I can't concentrate.
Yeah, this is Sunday, March 11th, 1962. And the editorial in the Santa Ana Register today is about socialized medicine. Anything you can say on socialized medicine. 5 minutes and 2,500 words.
Socialized medicine is a misleading term.
It's all right, you don't need it.
Because in current speech, when I speak of socializing something, I mean taking it out of the jurisdiction of society, that is our voluntary society, and placing it under the jurisdiction of our compulsory government administration, leading to elaborate bureaucracies directing the individual lives, much after the fashion of the totalitarian communities. The first thing is necessary is to understand what we mean by socialized medicine. Medicine has been largely taken out of society already because it is a closely knit organization similar to a labor union organization in which the membership is compulsory and in which the fees and regulations and all that sort of thing are regulated either by the association itself, as a labor union regulates its own members' behavior, or it is regulated by the political authorities, what we call the bureaucracy. With this broad statement that I've just made, it's hardly necessary to go into any detailed discussion of particular measures. We're either going to have more government control, licensing, limiting and control, and setting up classes with status as a labor union, special favorite class, or professional unions of all kinds, lawyers, doctors, even architects, real estate salesmen, all have to be regulated by the elected political people in order to supposedly to protect the general public. All this sort of arrangement is merely taking authority out of the hands of individuals, allegedly for their own protection,
and placing it in the hands of arbitrary authorities who may have been, whose authority may have been hereditary, or it may have been maybe by popular election. In either case, it's exercised above and beyond the will of the persons who are supposed to be served by these so-called socializations. And this, of course, means that we're moving in all these measures in the direction of a totalitarian society, or rather, no society at all, because it will not be voluntary. Be a totalitarian, but to use the strongest term, ultimately totalitarian slavery. So looking at the whole question of socialized medicine and socialized anything else, we have to consider it in terms of whether it enables people to be self-determining or have their lives determined for them by some extraneous authority established as a government, and sometimes calling itself a society. Society, however, is what nature develops, as in all other fields, spontaneously by growth, by development, and not by the placing of one set or class of men above another, above all others, in order to protect them, much as the lion might be set above the lamb, giving him very adequate protection, but winding up in a rather highly totalitarian state. A great deal could be said along these lines, with this limited time.
All right, what is your alternative?
I think there's a solution that's...
What is your alternative to socialized medicine?
Society itself. Society does not consist in men ruling one another. It doesn't consist in the Cain and Abel relationship, Cain being stronger and being placed in the position of his brother's keeper. The big brother, as we say nowadays in the totalitarian states. The alternative consists in the development of society. And society develops by spontaneous relationships, autonomous, by the mutual consent of the persons engaged in organizing themselves. The key of all this is the free contract in which people make mutual agreements to do good things to each other. And that is the basis of our economic society, not our uneconomic, far from economic, highly bankrupt public authorities. The basis of a solvent society is the contracts that men make. These contracts comprise our economic system, which provides all of the good fruits of life for all purposes, good and bad. It supports our very lives, it supports all the good that we do, it supports all the evil that is done, it supports all the freedom, it is freedom itself being contract, it supports all the freedom we have, it supports all the freedom that is taken away from us, it supports itself and its members. Our economic system does. It also supports our uneconomic or political system. remedy is that we should outgrow our political system as health outgrows disease. And the sign of not wanting that we're on the eve of a tremendous advance in this field. The business of real estate is just coming to be a business in which the capital named of the real estate is organized in large holdings, community-wide, hundreds and perhaps thousands of acres under one single ownership, incorporated or similarly organized.
How does this affect socialized medicine? What does that mean to me? Does it mean that I don't have to pay a doctor bill, or I do have to pay a doctor bill, or what?
It doesn't mean very much to anybody with respect to his own individual, single, personal affairs. It means a great deal to society as a whole, because the development of real estate business through syndication and unification of the capital is developing community authorities, self-sustaining in supplying their own police, fire, and other protection, and thereby taking away from the political authorities their supposed function, municipal and other necessary functions, in order that people can have things together in community life. This alternative is now very rapidly developing, so that we have thousands of communities all over the country, self-sustaining, self-supporting, not imposing any burdens upon those who occupy them. On the contrary, receiving voluntary revenue in the form of rents. This is the income to the communities, to the natural, social, truly socialized community. Socialized because it's owned by proprietors. And the only relation between them and the tenants or their occupants is a free relation, a voluntary contract. That's developing at a tremendous rate in this country now. And offers the opportunity for people to get the things that government is supposed to supply, to get them at a value which the purchasers themselves fix, and supplying a revenue which keeps the community solid instead of perpetually in debt and headed for bankruptcy, as all political communities have been throughout all time, re-emerging into a true socialized communities, socialized through the voluntary process of economic relationships instead of political relationships. This is developing very rapidly now, burgeoning, as some business publications say. It's being commented on throughout. And knowing people in the business world is a brand new business of supplying municipal services by municipal authorities who are not elected or otherwise arbitrarily installed, but who, through the process of contract, own the property and all that is capital is owned for the benefit of those who are served by it, thereby giving a natural voluntary revenue for public services throughout the entire community. This is developing so rapidly, it may be like the airplane industry. Thousands of years gestating, then suddenly burgeoning as the airplane did, and as electronics did, in the private field. However, the real estate business is always public, except so far as it is owned by the occupant. When it's owned by a syndicated or otherwise organized landlord, then it is used as capital, and capital is wealth used for the benefit of those who do not own it, but who use it for the service of others, the real true service of others. The value for service is measured by what other those who receive the services voluntarily pay for them.
All right.
So this is the alternative proprietary administration of communities, large and small. A hotel is an ancient example. And the most conspicuous modern example coming to the public eye is the thousands and thousands of shopping centers.